Have you ever gone fishing? Okay. One or two people, maybe. I haven't been fishing in a really long time, but I do remember one experience I had when I was fishing. When I was lucky enough to get a fish on the line and pull it out, took it off of the hook, and like that. I broke the microphone. Sorry. But the fish is always trying to wiggle and won't let itself be held because it's trying to get back in the water. It occurs to me, if you'll allow the metaphor, that our understanding of God is kind of like that. I'm not saying that God is a fish, but, you know, understand the image that I'm building here. But God always is wiggling out of our understanding, trying to figure out what God is like. One story in particular in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 3, we read this. Now Moses, tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, drove the flock into the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire out of a bush. He gazed, and there was a bush all aflame, yet the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I must turn aside to look at this marvelous sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he answered, Here I am. And he said, Do not come any closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground. I am, he said, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord continued, I have marked well the plight of my people in Egypt, and have heeded their outcry because of their taskmasters. Yes, I am mindful of their sufferings. I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the region of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. Moreover, I have seen how the Israelites oppress them. Come, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, and you shall free my people, the Israelites, from Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and free the Israelites from Egypt? And he said, I will be with you. That shall be your sign that it was I who sent you. And when you have freed the people from Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Moses said to God, When I come to the Israelites and I say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, Ehyeh asher ehyeh. He continued, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, Ehyeh has sent me to you. And God said further to Moses, Thus you shall speak to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This shall be my name forever, this my appellation for all eternity. Go and assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me and said, I have taken note of you and of what is being done to you in Egypt. And I have declared, I will take you out of the misery of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. This is the word of the Lord. I was thinking about asking you to turn this morning to the book of Names, chapter 3, but that might have confused you. But you see, the first five books of the Bible that we call the Pentateuch, or in Hebrew is called the Chumash, which is a word that just means five. The book of Exodus is known as the book of Names, begins with the phrase, These are the names of the children of Israel, the sons of Israel, who went down, they and all their household, into Egypt with Jacob. Each of the five books of the Pentateuch has a slightly different name in Hebrew than in English. Gives a little bit different emphasis. So Genesis is called Bereshit, which means beginning, emphasizing that God alone was in the beginning. Exodus is called Shemot, emphasizing names. Leviticus is called Vayikra, and God called. Numbers is called Bamidbar, which means in the desert, describing the Israelites' journey from Sinai all the way to the very beginning of the land. And Deuteronomy is called Debarim. It's represented as the final words of Moses just before the people go into the promised land. All of the books of the Old Testament, and indeed all of the books, all of the books of the Old Testament, even all of the books of the Bible, end with this sense of anticipation of not quite having gotten there yet. We're always looking forward for a hope that is not quite yet realized. Exodus, the book of Names, emphasizes the people, the identities of the people and the God that are involved in the Exodus. The Greek name, which is where we get Exodus from, emphasizes the event of the bringing out of the children of Israel from Egypt and moving them on toward the promised land. This, of course, is very important event that happens in the book of Exodus. But the name Shemot, names, emphasizes the names. In Hebrew culture, theology, names were very important. Oftentimes, the names given to a baby were some kind of observation or prediction about that baby's character, or perhaps their observations of how this person acted. Thus, Jacob, he is given the name Heel Grabber, because he is born holding on to the heel of his slightly older twin brother, Esau. And later on, he's given the name after he has this wrestling match with whoever it is, God maybe, an angel maybe, a man maybe, nobody really knows. But Jacob refuses to be defeated. He never taps out all the way through the night, and the angel or God or the man or whoever it is says, let me go, the sun is breaking. But first, tell me your name. Why do you want to know my name? This God or man or angel or whoever it is says. Jacob wants to have some kind of control, some kind of power over this whoever it is that he's been worshiping with or with wrestling with. But whoever this is gives Jacob a new name, Yisrael, the one who struggles with God. You have struggled with God and have prevailed. In this text, book of Exodus, the book of names, names are very important, and here God's name is revealed. And even as I'm reading the text in English, I came across when God says to Moses, this translation actually leaves it untranslated, this weird phrase, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, perhaps because we don't really know how to translate this thing. We don't really know what this means. Some Bibles say, I am who I am, or I will be whatever I will be, or I am whoever. I'm like a fish trying to wiggle out of your hands, jump back in the water. The Greek translation of the Old Testament, known as the Septuagint, tried to figure out this very weird phrase, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, and they said, Ego eimi ha on, which means something a little bit different, owing perhaps to different Greek philosophical connotations and whatever is going on there. But this basically means something like, I am the one who is. Well, that's helpful. That explains a lot, huh? Mm-hmm. If names reveal something about the character of the person or the entity that is named, then perhaps this is an appropriate name for God. So whenever we think we have figured out who God is and what God is, what's going to do, what God says, what God even wants for our lives, suddenly God surprises us. And in theology, it's often said that we can only really talk about what God is by saying what God is not. That's right, right? That's right, okay. God is not a human that you might change. God is not the God that your fathers worshipped in the region beyond the river or in Egypt. God is the one who brought you out of this land, the land of Egypt, brought you into this good and spacious land, Joshua says to the people. So serve him, because he has done these things to you, these things for you. But if you are unwilling, or if it's undesirable for you to worship the Lord, and that's a really not very kind of a weak translation. The Hebrew says, if it is evil in your eyes to worship the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the river or in Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you were living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Moses has this experience. He's out in the desert tending the sheep. And he sees that a bush lights on fire. This is not very surprising. Bushes light on fire all the time in the desert, but it's weird that this fire doesn't go out. So he looks and what is this? And God calls to him, Moses, and I send you. I am sending you to go do this thing for me that I want to have done. Who am I? Moses says, like a lot of the prophets in the Old Testament, he says, I am not worthy. I am not the right person to send to this. Later on in chapter 4, he says, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I'm not the one to speak for you. But God says, I will be with you. Later on, Jeremiah is called, I don't know what to speak. I don't know how to speak. I am only a boy. God says, do not say you were only a boy. You will say everything I command you, and you will go to everywhere I command you. I will be with you. And God says to Moses, this will be the sign that I have sent you, that I am with you. But God wants, or Moses says, okay, well, all right, well, okay. I go to the Israelites and I say, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say, pop quiz, Moses, what is his name? Do, 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 do. What shall I say to them? Now Moses has a legitimate question. What if they say, what is the name of this God that sent you to us? But he also has, there's a little bit of trying to figure out something that maybe he shouldn't need to know. Maybe he's trying to, Moses is maybe trying to hold on to a fish that's wiggling and squirming and trying to get back out of his hands, back out into the water. Moses asks for what is the nature of divinity? What is the nature of God? God, what are you in yourself? And God says, I will be whatever I will be. This will be my name throughout all generations. I will be whatever I will be. Many people think that this is where the holy name of God is revealed to the special prophet Moses. The holy name of God is never spoken in Hebrew. It's considered too holy for sinful human lips to utter. But Moses wants to know the name anyway. He wants to have some kind of authority, some kind of grasp on God. He wants to have things secure. I will be whatever I will be. Genesis 32:29, Jacob is wrestling with the man or the angel or God or whatever it is. And Exodus 3:13, seek to the same kind of issue. In Genesis 32, the man or the angel or God or whoever it is denies this knowledge to Jacob, but instead gives Jacob a new name. And in Exodus 3:14, God gives a non-answering answer. Maybe we can only speak about God in terms of the things that God is not. Maybe one of the things that God is not is God is not able to be figured out. And whatever we think we have said, everything we have needed to say, everything that could be said about God. Gospel of John says that Jesus did many, many other things in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These particular are written so that you will know that he is the Son of God. And later on, chapter 21 says, if everything that Jesus did were written down in a book, the whole earth would not contain the books that could be written. Now that's for somebody who lived 33 years. Imagine how many books could be written. Imagine all of the books that would be written about someone who has been from the beginning, before there was time. And yet, perhaps The entire universe could not contain all of the books that would be written. And even if the entire universe contained all of the books that could be written, there would still be another book that could be written, and another, and another, and another, and another. We say God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, God is omnipotent. Maybe God is also omni-surprising. Postscript to the book of Psalms says, "Perfect and complete is the praise of God, creator of everything." May the God who said, "I am whatever I am," may the God who is always surprising us continue to surprise you. And may this be a sign that God has sent you, that God is with you. Amen.